Finished the 10th and 11th step in the book, and we're looking at Continuing the Grow by Joe McHugh, and it's been great. And we'll be finishing that. I don't know if we'll finish it tomorrow. There's a lot of information in that chapter. On Wednesday night, we are on a vision for you. We're almost done with that powerful chapter. We looked at AA number 3 and how he changed and how they came to him and the interaction and the description of his hopelessness, and then the change in this man in a 48 hours period is really dramatic. And he died sober after many years of sobriety. And then we're going to finish up that chapter on Wednesday night. And congratulations again to Amy. It's really special. See somebody her age come in and get it, and she's sponsoring people now, and it's just, I was thinking, I'll be gone, but, 35 years from now, she'll be celebrating, and it'll be great. So, we're on page 49 of this handout. We are looking at the Saturday meeting we finished up, To Be Agnostics in the Big Book. We study the Big Book, so in addition to that, we look at the material by Joe McHugh of the Joe and Charlie. And this is an excellent review of the meaning and the purpose and the what's involved in steps 1 and 2. And then I also got the card. I don't know what to call the card, and I'm thinking of the solution. This is the solution. This is what it's all about. And I'll have this linked on the site. We'll go over this card because it relates to what we're doing today. I'm going to pick up on 49 because we finished with this paragraph. I went through it quickly, and then Tama commented on how powerful it was. They're talking about what's required to overcome alcoholism. At the top of the page, it says the spiritual experience has to be, it's a change in our personality sufficient to overcome the need to use or other alcohol or other mind-altering substances. In other words, I have to have some power in my life that can overcome my desire to drink or use. Anybody think that's a good idea? Now, why do I need a power outside of me? Because I had no power. And they talk about the spiritual experience, which is sudden, and the other is the spiritual awakening. In the original steps, it was spiritual experience, and then people were worried that they didn't have a sudden flashing light and they were missing something, so they changed it to spiritual awakening. But Sandy Beach makes the point that whether it's a spiritual experience or spiritual awakening, it's always suddenly. And he says that because, as Amy said, suddenly we realize that God is doing for us what we cannot do for ourselves. There's that moment when we realize that, and then we continue to have the moments. And then the other type, which is called the spiritual awakening, the garden variety spiritual. Now, notice the terms they use, awakening to the spirit. So if you're awakening to the spirit, you must be asleep, right, to wake up. And so you're asleep to God. And we're asleep to God because we live and pretend he doesn't exist, right? Anybody else do that besides me? Anybody do it today yet? That's what we do. We block God out. And it says usually it grows more gradually, maybe over a period of months. Often people notice the change in our personality even before we ourselves are fully aware of it. People can see that we're changing. And what we do and how we change, it says here, he realizes he has undergone a profound alteration of his life. But that's not what it says. A profound alteration of his reaction to life. The spiritual experience is it changes the way I react, the way I see things, my response to the world. And I react differently to situations, and it's different than I did before, and it's better. And I react differently to alcohol, right? I don't have to drink, but I react differently when I get angry or I get afraid. And it says, finally, he is awake that there is a power which we call God. And he is aware he didn't do this alone. At this point, he has a concept of God. Now, what we're trying to get out of the steps is to be aware and conscious of a power in our lives that can work for us, and can work for us and remove our fears and our anger and keep us from making bad decisions and direct our lives. And we call that God in AA. He identifies the power that altered him, that woke him up, as God. So we're all in the ICU, we're in coma. We're in coma when we come in here. Deep coma, right, Terry? We're in deep coma. And then suddenly we open our eyes and we see a whole new world. But the thing is, the world was there the whole time. I just wasn't aware of it. That's the powerful thing. It's always been there, but I couldn't see it. And it says in the beginning, we're talking about steps 1 and 2, we just have to acknowledge that we're asleep to it and we're powerless and we can't manage our lives. And then we have to be willing to believe. And then here's the key point, having worked the steps now, he knows. The big book makes a big different, distinction between belief and faith. And faith is true knowledge of God. And agnostic is those without knowledge. And then if you start on page 58, you follow the directions in there, then you have knowledge of God. And knowledge of God has an advantage because then you know where to go when things are bad or things aren't right or in your whole life, your trust in God. He talks about here shopping. He goes to the store, there are all these choices and there's a TV ad and you buy the product, it works just fine. So the next time you don't wander all the store, you walk right up and get the item that we know works. The example that they use in their big book study is if your car breaks down and you're in a town, you don't know anybody and your car breaks down and you go into the convenience store and you say, who can fix my car? And they say, well, go down to Joe's shop and down the street and he'll fix your car. So your car is broken and you want it fixed, so you make a decision to go to Joe. You go to Joe and he fixes the car and it works and he doesn't charge you very much and it's everything's done great. So then the next time your car breaks down, you know where to go. And that's our relationship with God. We know where to go now. Now we have two choices. Do we go to God or we go back to me? And then the more we go back to me, the worse it keeps getting. Till we realize we better get back to him. And in fact, if you've been around a long time, you don't want to go back to you because you immediately just don't feel good. You're back in your crap. You're judging and you're anger and fearful and all that nonsense. And so we try to stop right away. He talks about religions try to get you to accept a large complex belief system. This program takes another approach. You can believe any way you want to believe as long as you're willing to believe. But I wrote, belief isn't enough. Belief leads you to a decision to change. And then the decision change isn't enough. You have to take the action to change. And when you take the action to change, then you are changed, you're aware of God, and you have a power in your life, and you have true faith. Now, he talks, we do not attempt to prove God to people ahead of time. A lot of people come here, they don't like the idea of God. We understand that. We say, change your mind. Be open-minded and willing. And AA doesn't attempt to prove anything to you. This is not that kind of program. This is a program that tells you, if your life is crap, try this. And then tell us the result. And it also says, if you have a better plan, go ahead and try it. Tell us the result. Well, people try other plans and they don't come back for a while and they come back and their plan didn't work. And I can't say there isn't another plan. Nobody says that. But we just say we have a plan that works. Try it. And then you tell us the results, and that's what we're supposed to do. It says if you're willing to believe and willing to follow this program, God will prove himself to you. That's the most powerful thing that we say. And he ends, we agnostics, I believe, when we draw near to him, he disclosed himself to us. Is that a powerful promise?
Yeah.
It's absolutely true. True, Amy?
Yes.
Absolutely. And that's what we're supposed to celebrate, really. So we start out with our own conception, no matter how inadequate it is. The basic principle, he says, basically, or anything, is you have to start with some point with the concept we have and go from there. He says, people say, I don't believe in God. I say, well, that's where you have to begin. But I really think it's that you have to be willing to change your conception. You have to let it go of your old ideas. And we talked about that the other day. Willingness is the key. And my willingness to change, that I'm willing to let go of my old ideas. And you know how you become willing to let go of your old ideas? You're sick of your old ideas killing you. and you're willing to change. You're willing to do anything. Anyway, we don't attempt to prove God to people. If you're willing to believe and willing to follow this program, God will prove himself to you. And that's the testimony of this book. And our testimony should be, it says, how we established our relationship with God. Remember, that's what it says on page 29. In our stories, each person is to tell us how they established their relationship with God. That's what we're talking about in AA. We're not talking about not drinking. We're talking about a relationship with God. And we'll get to this card later. We want to be in the world of the Spirit. Here, I'm going to skip these couple paragraphs. Here he's talking about changing his conception when he needs to drive and teaching somebody. And then I'm going to go to the middle page. Some of the most spiritual people I've met in this program are people who start off as agnostics. I think in the end, we're all agnostics, even though we believe, we haven't lived on the belief. What I mean by that is I believed and prayed in God and then got in my car and ran the day. And Joe and Charlie make the point, we believed in God, we prayed to God, but we never allowed him to work because we were living in self. Was anybody else like that? And so we believed and we prayed and then things didn't change. And then we said, well, God, what's the problem? Well, the problem is me. And I didn't know how to live a different way. Many people with a lot of beliefs have more closed minds and are not willing to develop a knowledge of God through these actions. But you know, the original belief system didn't keep them from being powerless over alcohol. We need to remind new people of that. Whatever you believe or are doing, well, it didn't keep you powerless over alcohol. And so, but telling them that won't help them unless they realize it and they want to change. And I wrote, church belief prayer is great, but it may not be enough for most alcoholics. We need something else, and we need the steps. Because we can't destroy my self-centeredness on my own. And so, in chapter 3, more about alcoholism, Bill Wilson writes the stories of the man of 30, Jim and Fred. These are stories of people who, like ourselves, believe something that was untrue. Did you ever believe anything that was untrue? If you have fear, you're believing something that's untrue. It's not even real. It doesn't exist. Anybody ever get angry? Well, you're believing something that's not true. And when you drink, you're believing it's okay to drink right before you drink, right? So how can you do that when you know it's wrong? Well, you know it's wrong before you decide to drink. And if you're an alcoholic, your mind says it's okay. So you're believing your mind. So one of the things you might want to learn from this is you can't believe when your mind tells you things. What? How do you do that? Well, I don't know about you, but I've got a thinker in my head that talks to me. And sometimes it tells me things. And I have to say, you know, what is your source of information? I heard a powerful speaker. He talked about the vulture in the bedpost is this thing that talks to him all the time. He wakes up in the morning, and there's a vulture there that says, where you been? We got work to do. Yeah. We got things going on. And he calls it the vulture in the bedpost. And he says what he had to do in AA is learn not to listen to this vulture and ask the vulture, what's your source of information? So when you have a fear and it seems really real, ask yourself, what's your source of information for that? When you're angry, why are you angry? What's your source of information? They say you should answer sponsor to state what the character in each of these stories believed that was not true. So Fred was the guy who had a perfect day. He runs a business. He goes to Washington. Everything comes out perfectly. Now, the thing Fred didn't believe was he didn't believe he was an alcoholic, remember? He had jitters, and he went to the asylum many times, and they talked to him, and he says, I don't believe I'm an alcoholic. I got this. I'm smart. I acknowledge. I know what's going on. I'll be okay. So he goes into the dining room, and his mind tells him he'll have a highball. It's okay, and then he's drunk, and he's incapacitated. Then he ends up in the asylum. And he says, they said to him, well, what happened? He said, well, I didn't believe myself an alcoholic, but I believe what you guys are telling me now. And his story is very powerful. Jim believed he could have milk with liquor and it was okay. But Jim made a mistake. He was an alcoholic. He admitted he was an alcoholic. But they said Jim failed to enlarge his spiritual life. And since he didn't enlarge his spiritual life, he didn't show up on Monday to work. He came in on Tuesday. He yelled at the boss of the business he used to own. He got pissed off, and he went to the country to sell a car at a bar. And it made perfect sense when you read it. And then in squiggly writing, it says, suddenly he thought the idea of whiskey and milk made sense. And then it says, another trip to the asylum for Jim. And we have to recognize that. So I don't want to act on lies anymore. The thing that a lot of people don't realize, it took me a while, is I can't not act on the lie on my own. I need God so that I don't act on the lie. I need God to help me see the truth. In step 10, we talk about watching for selfishness, dishonesty, resentment, fear. I need a power in my life to go through the day with me to help me see my thinking and tell me it's wrong and I need to change. So I have to get God-centered throughout the day and try to stay there. On my own, I'll act on a lot of lies. Anybody take a little fear and turn it into a calamity? Just sitting in your chair. And we can't stop once we get going. And we don't want to even get going. So I have to learn to go to God whenever I get off the beam. And the thing is, I need to work the steps, and I need to learn how to work the steps to know when I'm off the beam. It says in step one, we close the door 100% on this kind of thinking. That means we're 100% willing to let go of our thinking and our idea and our minds dominating our lives. We don't want to act on our thinking anymore because our lives are unmanageable. That's what it means when your life was unmanageable. It was unmanageable by you and your thinking. So your thinking was killing yourself. So when you get the DUI and you're in jail and you say, gee, I shouldn't have taken the interstate. No, you shouldn't have listened to your mind. And we do. Anybody look back on their life and see the decisions that they made and how bad they were, and based on self? Well, we at the time we thought it was a good idea. And he said, when we exhaust all the possibilities of ever drinking sanely, then we were willing. And it's more than that. He doesn't talk in these few paragraphs about the unmanageability of your life, but it's the unmanageability of your life sober. And when a person believes something that is not true, he will act on this delusion. So we're under a delusion as alcoholics, and we believe things that aren't true. And the delusion, it says in the big book, that dominated our lives, at least it dominated mine, was this belief that if I managed the world well, everything would work out. Anybody believe that? So I kept trying in all areas of my life, and it killed me. And a guy once told me, hell is the true seed too late. I like that. You look back. The other delusion I had was I was God. I must have, because I play God. And then I wrote truth. Well, truth is when I can see it's a bad idea. I'll say to myself, bad idea, Michael. You start getting irritated by somebody, you say, bad idea. You get afraid, you just say, bad idea. Why? Because you know the result. You're just going to be miserable. We are always powerless over alcohol. Anybody believe that? But we were always powerless over alcohol, but we didn't see that truth for a long time. Now, when did you realize that you were truly paralyzed over alcohol? You ask yourself. It says, when we admit ourselves powerless, we become available to the truth. And what is the truth? And so I wrote page 53 is when I admitted I was powerless over alcohol in my life. Was page 53 was when I was crushed by a self-imposed crisis. I could not postpone or evade. Crushed. Anybody remember when you were crushed? Now, I was really crushed. You know how they crush things? You can crush it this much or this much or this much. I was there, and I couldn't get up and get crushed anymore. And it says that we we face the proposition, God is everything or nothing. What is our choice to be? It says, that's when I became an alcoholic. That's when I became a powerless alcoholic, powerless over my own life for me. And then available to the truth, I wrote page 45. And what is the truth? That there's a power that can solve my problem, right? We read how it works, how we find the problem. So page 45 says, lack of power is my dilemma. Anybody believe that? We had to find a power by which I could live, and it couldn't be me. And it says, the power solves our problem. And it says, the truth will make you free. With this new freedom, and the truth of my powerlessness, and the truth that there's a power that can help me, I can turn my energies to becoming sober. So I turn away from the lie that I could manage my life and I could drink and I could fix this thing, and I turn away from that. The human mind will, I wrote, hitting bottom cannot deny the truth. You can't deny the truth anymore. There's that a total admittance of the truth, and you can't rationalize it, you can't see any way other than the truth. The human mind, as soon as a man can say that he does believe or is willing to believe, we emphatically assure him that he's on his way. And that's in the We Agnostic, which we read. And that's step two. Then you're on your way. And then Bill called step one the foundation. He called step two the cornerstone. And he said, believing is the cornerstone of the arch through which we pass the freedom. And the keystone of the arch is the decision in step three. And so that's what I wrote on this card. I think this card I was working with a sponsee, and Val and I were working with him, and I drew all this on his book, and they said, well, that's good. We should make a thing out of it. So the world of my alcoholism is the world I lived in, and I wasn't awake to another world. It's where I played God. I didn't see that when I came in here, and I was separated from God. Now, I also thought of something today. I was listening to some study of the scriptures, and it says we're to be happy, joyous, and free. Anybody remember that?
Mm-hmm.
Well, what I think for me is I can't be happy, joyous, and free if I'm not connected to God. The happy, joyous, and free that they talk about is to be connected to God. Then I feel that inner peace. And when I expected to be happy, joyous, and free based on out there, it was never enough. And when I'm playing God, I'm irritable, restless, and discontented. Anybody relate to that? And I have anger, fear, shame, and guilt, and harmful actions. Now, I can be 30 years sober and still be in this circle. So I don't want to be in the circle. But in the beginning, we were all in the circle, right? And then steps one, two, three, willingness and belief in the decision, moves me out of this circle. And I'm in the arch. I'm building this arch through which I pass a free man. And the arch is out of the bondage of self. And the foundation is the willingness, belief is the cornerstone, and the decision, step three, is the keystone. And then the rest of the arch is steps four through nine. And steps four through nine bring me into God's world. Now, we read the promises at a lot of meetings. That's when you're halfway through step nine and you've finished your arch. Everybody loves the promises, but we should have a warning before we read them. If you don't do any work, this is never going to happen. And the promises come true, and then it says you're in the world of the Spirit. You're in step 10. This thought brings us to step 10, remember? And the world of the Spirit is the world that I was always asleep to. It's the world of God. And he's running the show, and I want to be connected to God. And the world of the Spirit, the world of the promises, the obsessions removed, we're not fighting it, we're in fit spiritual condition. And then we stay here with steps 10, 11, and 12. So for me, I have to do steps 10, 11, and 12 to stay in this world. And actually what I have to do, I don't know about you, but I can go from here to here in 30 minutes. And then I have to stop and say, bad idea. I want to get back to God. I'll call Mark. I'll say, God, Mark, I'm back in here. And he'll say, get back to here. And what do? We all do that. But that's why we need each other, and that's why we need God. Because God, I don't feel good. Remember, God disciplines us? God disciplines me because when I'm back here, I don't feel good anymore. And I recognize that because this used to be the way I felt all the time, remember? But I know that that's not good anymore. So anyway, I hope that's helpful. It says if the sponsor has taken step one, he understands he has an allergy to alcohol. He understands the insanity and the state of mind just before he takes the first drink. But what takes us to the insanity of the first drink is the unmanageability of our life sober, which makes me irritable, restless, and discontent. And so I seek alcohol. Now when I get irritable, restless, discontent, I seek God. And the steps are giving me spiritual exercises that I kind of do automatically, because I don't want to be out there. I want to be back here. And we have the power to the solution, and then you're ready to make a decision in step three. He talks about the momentum, and there has to be a certain momentum to the working the steps. And what I see is people start out with a lot of momentum, and then they slow down. They're racing through it because they are impatient to get the result. Brian talks about that all the time when he first came in. We want that result right away. But then we slow down. So, and then the momentum is to keep it up the rest of your life. So I hope this was helpful. I got a lot out of this review. And we'll start next week with how it works in the preamble. So congratulations again, Amy. And we'll open it up to discuss.